WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number if you would like to be a part of the show. We encourage you to do that. 617-627-3800. As I said on Facebook, facebook.com/ Big Picture WMFO. You'll go ape for tonight's show. That'll tell you what we're talking about later.
You are so punny.
You'll go ape for tonight's show. You absolutely will. We're going to be talking about the gorilla. Because everybody's talking about the gorilla and the bad parents and the bad zoo and everybody's bad and everything's wrong. And
there's no winner in this.
Yes. Hamabe died for our sins. Is really what it comes down to. So we're going to be talking about that later tonight, plus our favorite stories of the past week, strangest stories of the past week. We got all kinds of good stuff coming your way.
And it's good to be back.
Lots of good stuff. We missed you last week.
I know.
I missed you last week.
I missed you.
You didn't miss me.
No.
No, it's all right.
I missed doing the show.
That's you miss doing the show, but you don't miss me.
Yeah.
Is really what it comes down to. The fact that I'm here.
Yeah, I was not pretty last Wednesday.
Is completely incidental to this show going on the air. It's all about Lisa and what she wants. Guys, remember this, because this is the way the world works. Can I tell you?
It's just all about me.
Can I tell you?
Why don't guys get that?
I don't know. Because we like to think that we're worth something and we matter. Yeah, I know. I know. Everybody was walking around yesterday because apparently Memorial Day is the first Monday holiday that a lot of people get at work now. We used to have things like President's Day and Martin Luther King Day.
You would understand most jobs do have that. You unfortunately work somewhere they don't allow
No,
that.
A lot of places now just don't do those anymore.
Really?
Yeah, those holidays are endangered. Martin Luther King Day, not so much, unless you work for racists, as apparently I do. No, I don't mean that. But yes, this Monday was the first like big Monday holiday that everybody got. So everybody was walking around yesterday like, what day is it? What day is it?
And absolutely.
I didn't have
screwed me all up. I thought yesterday was Monday, it was Tuesday.
This is how messed up I am. I didn't have a problem with that yesterday. I got that it was Tuesday because I was back at work after the three-day weekend. Today, I've been walking around thinking it's Thursday all day long. I don't know where this came from.
We just completely bypassed the show.
Yeah, it's like you're lucky I showed up tonight because part of me is like, oh, it's Thursday. I'll go home and watch Jeopardy.
And all the listeners are like, oh, if only Derek had missed the show.
I'm a hot mess.
Well, that's one way to put it.
What do you got for us? What's going on in our world, Lisa Nichols?
Well, today in local news, we learned more details of a fatal holiday party shooting. Two Boston police officers were among those who attended a house party in which a man was shot to death last weekend at a Linfield mansion, Police Commissioner William B. Evans said on Wednesday. Evans said two female officers who were off duty said that he did not know if they were in the home at the time of the shooting. The officers are not suspects and are cooperating with the investigation. A separate investigation will look into whether any department rules were broken. Essex District Attorney Jonathan Bludgett's office is probing the death of Kevin Heath, 33, of Randolph. Heath was shot at 3 a.m. Sunday at a rented mansion at 8 Needham Road in Linfield. Heath was taken to North Shore Medical Center Union Hospital in Lynn, where he was later pronounced dead. So you have a lot of questions that are really swirling around this. Coming out of the weekend into the Monday holiday, we found out that there was a shooting in Linfield. A little shocking since, you know, Linfield generally is a very quiet town.
Yes.
Then today we find out that two female officers were partaking in the bikini-clad pool party that was taking place at this rented mansion in Linfield.
But what are they supposed to? What are they supposed to do? Are they supposed to go cloister themselves for the weekend and read up on the Massachusetts criminal code?
No, and is it a big deal that they were there? No, but there are a lot of questions that are still unanswered. I believe when you have a situation where you do have two officers that attended a party where a man was shot, that they're really not releasing any information about, other than the man's name, the victim's name and his age and where he was from, and that he was a father of two children. people are going to have questions.
Well, apparently what I've...
Whose party is this? Who's involved? Were they there?
We don't know.
You can't just say, we don't know, we don't know yet, we don't know.
Yeah, here's the thing.
You're telling me that the two women are being cooperative with the investigation, but you're telling the public, we don't know if they were there. Yes, you do know. You're just not telling us.
No, I heard somebody today say that they had left before things got shooty. So they were there earlier and then they'd gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the middle of the night when this thing got completely out of control. But first of all, who is renting out their house for parties in Linfield? What are you thinking? Like, let's bring that guy up on charges. Because you, as a property owner, have an obligation to know what's going on at your property.
No, absolutely. I mean, unfortunately, with the real estate market we are in right now, sometimes, especially looking at the North Shore, prices are extremely expensive. And you know, because you just bought a house on the North Shore. When people can't sell, sometimes their real estate agents will go to them and say, maybe it will be beneficial if you wait out maybe a year or 2 years, if you're okay with renting it out, which they do in many communities.
Sure, have some gangbangers come down and have a pool party.
And that's the thing. Who was renting this? I mean, is there some sort of liability for
this guy swears up and down, I didn't rent it out for big parties. Give me a break, guy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rent it out, period.
No, and those are the questions that need to be answered. Is it somebody that is renting month to month? Say maybe a 10... If we're looking, it's a, $3.6 million mansion,
yeah.
I think it said.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming the rent's probably upwards of $5,000 to $10,000 a month. Who's renting that per month? But then you just made the point.
He wasn't even renting it for the month. He was renting it for the weekend for a party.
Yeah.
Oh, we got 20 people. We're just going to have a college reunion, apparently, with the line that was used.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break.
No.
Do some due diligence.
We're not talking about, renting a house on a lake in New Hampshire.
Yeah. This being Linfield, I think they'll...
How do you think those neighbors feel about having their neighbor's house rented out for the weekend?
I think the local authorities will say that the damage to his property is punishment enough and let him off the hook.
Mm.
Although he should not be let off the hook.
So you're responsible for getting those bloodstains out.
Yeah. And all the other damage that was done. This is why you don't rent out your property. This is why you don't put stuff on Airbnb and have no idea who's coming and going. Because the next thing you know, there's porn shoots happening in your backyard. And you're like, how did my house wind up in Stop My Butt Is On Fire 27? Oh, that's the Airbnb guy. This is happening.
That furniture looks very familiar.
Yeah, this is happening all over. People are renting houses for porn shoots. People are renting houses to use as weekend brothels. People are renting houses for parties that get out of control.
I think it's more feasible to imagine that somebody's renting it out for a party for the weekend rather than, Pornhub.
Yeah.
Latest.
But that's what happens. It's not, if you rent it out and you say, I want to know who's going to be in here, and it's some family that's coming in, you're like, okay, you're in town.
Mm-hmm.
You need a place to stay for a few days. That's good. I'm not talking about the multi-million-dollar mansion. I'm talking about the average house.
What do you expect? Memorial Day weekend, you're going to be... You own a mansion, so clearly the person that renting it is trying to show off.
Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen?
One would hope not shootings and massive bikini parties with Boston police officers and people wandering around all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the Linfield police while all this is going on? Because I can't imagine the neighbors are just sitting there quietly saying, oh, there's more noise. Here's more people throwing up in my backyard.
And this also wasn't at 9, 10 o'clock at night. We're talking about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
So you're trying to tell me that there was no noise escalation up to that point. Everybody was completely silent and quiet from 1, 2 o'clock. Just so happened somebody came in wielding a gun at 3 a.m.
Yeah. It's Linfield. They got two cops on duty, because it's Linfield. They have four cops to begin with.
No, everybody was at the DUI checkpoints, which I did go through one on Thursday night.
Could have been one of those too.
I was coming back from the gym.
More than likely,
the officer made fun of me.
Yeah, I don't think they're well for good reason. You had Cheez-Its in the car.
Shameful.
Yes. In national news, I'm so far behind in everything. Did I mention that it's Thursday? A baby was born with microcephaly believed to be caused by Zika virus in New Jersey yesterday. The baby's mother had traveled to the United States from Honduras, where she acquired the Zika infection to try and get the best care for her newborn. The Centers for Disease Control confirmed that the woman had a Zika infection during the second trimester of her pregnancy. The first baby with Zika-related microcephaly in the United States was born in January in Hawaii to a woman who had spent time living in Brazil. Earlier this week, the World Health Organization recommended that people who have traveled to Zika outbreak areas avoid unprotected sex for 8 weeks to prevent transmission to their partners. So people see the headline, they're like, Zika baby in New Jersey, Zika baby in New Jersey, it's all over. No, relax.
Just when you thought New Jersey couldn't get bad enough.
Relax. Of course New Jersey was going to have Zika.
Yeah.
Does that surprise
What's
anybody?
What's worse, Jersey Shore or the Zika baby?
Why couldn't Snooki get Zika?
I know, right?
How does that?
But here's a perfect example of a lot of conversations that I've had around Zika have this connotation that it is only in Brazil, only in South America, and that it can't travel.
No.
If you do listen to our show, which we talk about quite a lot, we have said by midsummer, it is going to be moving up into Texas, all your Gulf Coast, so your Alabama, your Mississippi, your Louisiana. Then it also could be keep traveling up. If we're looking at the temps, we're looking at kind of a baseline where Connecticut is.
Yeah.
How close to Massachusetts is that? We now are seeing it at the end of May in New Jersey.
Well, it's not, but this is where I've got to put the caveat on it, because people see Zika, New Jersey, and they're like, oh my God, there's Zika in New Jersey. This woman came from Honduras, and no wing nuts. She didn't come here to have an anchor baby. She came here because she wanted good medical care for her kid, and that was a smart thing to do. I don't think there's much that they can do for this kid, because apparently it's bad. Mm-hmm. So there is no Zika in New Jersey, unless...
No, I mean, it's not spreading, but for somebody to believe that somebody can't travel to South America or travel to somewhere that it is a hotbed.
Yeah.
For this virus, come back to your state and you're fine, or taking the quote-unquote precautions...
Well,
it's very difficult.
The precautions
we're talking about.
The precautions mosquitoes. Apparently are no sex for 8 weeks after you come back. So who's going to do that? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Married people, but other than that, nobody.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
married.
True.
Married
Anybody
people.
That's been
married people go 8 weeks
while.
Without sex like nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, wow. You know, it's been 3 years. What time flies. You know, but everybody else who's traveling around, and yeah, if you're in one of those areas, no sex for 8 weeks. We do not have a good record at stopping the spread of sexually transmitted disease in this country.
Now, the funds that are still being allocated to Zika still aren't enough of what we need to fight it here in the United States. By any means.
You got to fight it in Brazil. That's where it is right now. And Brazil is...
Yeah, but you don't believe, Derek, that in, say, 3 months, we are going to have, in very poor neighborhoods in the Gulf Coast, a problem with Zika.
Oh, we're going to have it all the way up to Connecticut.
Absolutely.
By the end of the summer. There's little doubt in my mind that it's going to go that far. And if we have a really hot summer, maybe we get it in Rhode Island. Maybe we get it in southwestern Massachusetts. You know, this isn't something that you can just stick your head in the sand and say, oh, it's not our problem. This is our problem.
Yeah, I'll just run from building to building.
Yeah.
No mosquitoes will get me.
Because even if the Zika mosquitoes themselves don't get up here, the people with Zika come up here, they bite, they get bitten, the mosquitoes get the Zika, they go bite somebody else, and that's how the disease is transmitted.
And you could also have a situation where you now have people starting to migrate north.
Yeah.
Because of the warnings that are happening in many of these cities. We're also having to deal with many of these cities in the Gulf Coast. If you have heightened alert warnings, some of these cities depend on tourism.
Yeah.
Are you going to be traveling?
Yeah, but
there?
they're not big tourist hotspots. Nobody's going to the Florida Panhandle in August. It's hot and unpleasant. Like, summer is the slow season at Disney because it's so hot down there.
What about Texas, Corpus Christi area?
Gulf Coast.
Around the water.
Yeah, the Gulf Coast area,
Louisiana.
You get folks down there. You'll get folks there. Louisiana, everybody wants to get out of town because it's too hot. Tennessee, Mississippi, same. Everybody wants to get out of town because it's so hot. But if it gets a little bit further north, that's where everybody goes to get away from the heat. So now you got that problem. And this is something that people need to be aware of. You need to keep an eye on it, particularly if you are pregnant, if you are trying to have a child, if you are thinking about having a child, if you are having a lot of unprotected sex and just may have a child. It's something you need to be aware of, because the prognosis, not for every child born with microcephaly, but for a lot of them, is not good.
Mm-hmm.
They lead very short, very expensive lives. And
and we've discussed this on the show before. Isn't it upwards of $1 million per year?
Per year, yeah, to take care of a child with severe mm-hmm. microcephaly. And they're probably...
you think our government wants to pay for that?
They'll be lucky to make it to three.
No.
In a lot of cases, they're lucky to make it to three. So you got to be aware of this. There's no Zika in New Jersey. Don't freak out about that. Don't have sex with the woman that just came here from Honduras, because that will spread Zika. If you've been to Brazil, if you've been to Honduras, if you've been to one of these places, don't be having any unprotected sex, because then you give it to your partner, and then your partner goes and gives it to somebody else, assuming your partner is not faithful, which your partner may or may not be. But you don't want to give your partner Zika anyway.
Yeah, for so long we had to worry about STDs. Now, pass it along to Zika.
Same deal. In world news, the battle to retake Fallujah from the Islamic State was halted today by Iraq's Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi, who cited his concern for the safety of civilians in the city. Nearly 60,000 people, including 20,000 children, are believed to still be in Fallujah, where Islamic State fighters may use them as human shields to prevent air attacks and shelling. The halt is meant to give civilians an opportunity to escape before the final battle against Islamic State begins. Around 3,700 have fled since last week. Iraqi commanders have also limited the role of Shiite militias in the battle to prevent so-called revenge killings against Sunni civilians in the city. That last bit is sort of an interesting detail here, because the Shia militiamen have been a major asset. The Iraqi army is not that good. Everybody knows they're not that good.
Mm-hmm.
The Shia militias, they're pretty good. They're good soldiers. But when it comes to actually going into Fallujah and cleaning the place up, because it is a Sunni city, the Iraqi government has said, don't let the militias in there, because they'll go in and they'll just start killing people.
No, absolutely. And I mean, that's what makes this so complicated. And Fallujah is a city that is incredibly complicated. It is, as you said, predominantly Sunni. Majority of Iraq, though, is Shiite. So ISIS is Sunni-led. Basically, you have a situation that it's like the Patriots and the Broncos in the Middle East. And they're going against each other. And the United States is kind of taking a step back, because we want ISIS gone.
Yeah.
But we really don't want to stir up that more tension in an already tenacious atmosphere.
You don't want 60,000 people killed if you can avoid it. Every city that they've driven ISIS out of, Palmyra is a good example of this, they have had to flatten to get rid of them, because ISIS are like roaches. They mm-hmm. build tunnels all over the place, and then they run and hide in their tunnels. So you start shooting at them, they go run and hide in their tunnels. You start blowing up buildings, they go run and hide in other tunnels, until they can build enough tunnels to get away from the city and away from the battlefield. And then they go regroup somewhere else and come back.
Now, if the Iraqi government does manage to get back Fallujah, this is such a huge win, because this is a fight that's been going on for the past 2 years. So is there an end game to this? We don't know. It's kind of every move is a new strategy, it seems like.
It's sort of, we want to wedge ISIS.
I mean, there isn't a black and white plan to how to fight this.
We want to wedge ISIS up against the Iraqi-Syrian border and then let whoever's doing whatever they're doing over there take them out. Because the one thing that everybody agrees on over there is they don't like ISIS. So if you get them over to Syria, Bashir's forces may take them out, the Russians may take them out, the Turks may take them out, the U.S. may take them out, the local villagers may take them out.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're in Fallujah, they got a place where they can hang out where they're relatively safe.
But that's problem.
Over.
You have such a hotbed of fighting. We have the fight against ISIS, but then you still have all of this going on between the Sunnis and the Shiites. So there's no
You're not going to fix that. You're never going to fix that. That's going to keep going.
But you say even if you push ISIS into, against the back of, say, Syria, near Turkey, from what we've been talking about before, Turkey's been buying some of the oil from ISIS. Are we still in a situation where they're saying, oh, ISIS is bad, but we're getting oil from them in the secret tunnels that with the pipes? And
Turkey got a bad rap for that and more or less knocked it off. I wouldn't be surprised if they're still trying to get some oil. But ISIS's ability...
Oh, Erdogan, what, he's changed his tune?
ISIS's ability to sell the oil has been sharply curtailed because there's Russian jets flying around all over the place looking for the
tankers.
No,
completely destroying them, yes.
And when these guys are out in the open without civilians to protect them, everybody swoops in and starts dropping bombs. All these countries want to bomb some ISIS. Everybody is all about, let's go blow up some ISIS.
And one would assume after the attacks that took place in Baghdad a few weeks ago, that there's a little more rush to be fighting this.
Yeah.
We're going to have a situation where in major cities in the Middle East, they're just going to go into markets in maybe three different attacks in one day and kill 90 plus people.
Yeah, but they're going to do that anyway, whether there's pressure on them in Fallujah or not. If you get them out of Fallujah, they don't have a major city that they hold anymore. Mm-hmm. They're left with smaller villages that are slightly more appealing military targets. Not that you ever want to kill civilians, but if you got a choice between, well, we might lose a few civilians in this, and this is going to kill 500 people, including 100 children, the math is pretty obvious. You know, the way the military fights it, they try to avoid all civilian casualties. With a group like ISIS, that's next to impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you can get people up close to them, which we can't do.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a fight that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
And we've talked so much about that, and it's different from Al-Qaeda or, you know, any other terrorist group that generally just solely lives in holes and maybe once every month pulls out an attack.
So what you want to do is drive them out into the middle of the desert, figure out where they are, and then turn that piece of desert into a couple of inches of glass. Mm-hmm. That now encases what's left of ISIS. That's where we're going with this. I don't know where al-Baghdadi is. I haven't heard a peep about him in a long time. And I would think in a conflict like this, he would be one of the major targets that they'd be going after. Usually when you don't hear anything about them for a long time, it means that they're getting close.
Mm-hmm.
That they've got some operation in place or something going on where they're trying to get the guy. And you don't hear anything about them because they don't want to talk about it. They don't want the press asking any questions. Where's Baghdadi? What's happening with that guy? It's just...
Oh, makes sense.
Forget he exists. Don't ask because we're not going to tell you anything about it. So you may hear on the news some one of these days, Baghdadi's gone because we finally got an opportunity to take him out with a drone or somebody got close to him and picked him up. I don't know if they're going to pick that guy. I don't think you can pick that guy up. Because he was able to motivate this mess that's been going on over there for the last 2 years.
Well, the past few months, we've been seeing secondary guys being killed as well.
Yeah. Oh, they're taking out the other commanders left and right. It's just nobody's been able to get at Baghdadi yet. Which if you think about it.
It's interesting, though, Derek. There really is no... How ISIS started, there was no central leadership, essentially.
Oh, Baghdadi's always been the guy.
Yeah,
he's always been the guy. He's the spiritual.
He's been the name.
He's the leader of ISIS.
I understand, but when ISIS first started, when we were first hearing about it, it was more so like a movement. Whereas you always had that number one guy, whether it been like Osama bin Laden, that was your target guy. It seems like that for ISIS as well, but not as big of a scale.
Well, it was Al-Qaeda in Iraq and Syria. That's what it started out as. Mm-hmm. And then Baghdadi came along and made them more fanatic than they were to begin with. So he's a little like Charles Manson. You don't know what to do with this guy. You can't necessarily put him in jail because then everybody's going to try and get him out of jail. And everybody's going to be listening for any communications from him. If you kill him, he's a martyr. That presents a whole different set of problems for you. You're in a similar situation that you were in with Osama bin Laden. And the way they ultimately dealt with that was they caught bin Laden, who had been isolated for years really didn't have as tight a grip on Al-Qaeda as he had at one point in time. And they tried to get him, but they took him out. So, end of story. Al-Baghdadi probably ends in a similar fashion. Unless they know where he is and you can get rid of enough of these ISIS guys that they're not going to come up with a big counterattack, then you can take him out.
If I were to guess, I don't believe that they would arrest him and charge him. They would kill him. If he is killed, then what? I mean, do we have a situation where then it's not like, you know, the queen bee dies and then everything else scatters? We still have subgroups of it because that's just how ISIS runs.
And that's part of the reason we've gone after the commanders is because the commanders have more direct operational control. Baghdadi may be the spiritual leader of ISIS, but he's not the one that's writing the checks. He's not the one that's drawing up the battle plans. He's not the one out in the field saying, go over here and do this. They've been taking out those guys.
And that's where I draw contrast from, say, Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Where he was the number one guy making all the plans, making all the calls.
He was.
I mean, but it was going down to his commanders. But essentially, everything was coming from him.
He was until Tora Bora. After that, things started getting a little hazy.
The search for him became so much more significant. So it was... the communication from him to his commanders was lessening.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the point where you see Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula pops up, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq and Syria pops up, Al-Qaeda in your office pops up. Like, all these different Al-Qaeda offshoots appear because the guy who had been ruling over everything with an iron fist is now in a compound in Pakistan and can't rule over everything with an iron fist anymore. So the similar thing will happen to ISIS. It'll splinter. It'll break up. There'll be little ISIS groups here and there. They won't have any land anymore, so they can't make the Islamic State claim. They won't have their currency. They won't have their oil sales. They won't be paying anybody. But there's always some fanatic with a gun over there, it seems, who can rally a few hundred people to his cause and, you know, commit
fight
some...
fight the infidels and
call it a day. Commit some atrocities. So we're going to be mopping this up for the rest of our lives, probably. I'll be surprised if it's not.
Well, if you haven't...
WMFO Medford.
...talked enough about Zika, today in sports we learned...
Zika!
...as the Rio Olympics grow closer, the dangers of Zika are top priority for some athletes. Francisco Rodriguez, the Detroit Tiger pitcher, has warned athletes to educate themselves about Zika virus after contracting the disease in the offseason. The Venezuelan told ESPN in his home country when he developed body aches and joint pain symptomatic of the condition. He is now warning others about the potential dangers of traveling to Rio de Janeiro for the Olympics this summer. Quote, if they plan to have kids in the future, you've got to think about this. You have to be aware of it as well. Do your homework and do your research, said Rodriguez. Pau Gasol, the Spaniard who plays for the Chicago Bulls, expressed Wednesday doubts over safety traveling to Rio, as has Jessica Ennis-Hill, the British athlete who plans to miss training camps that build up to the game, golfer Adam Scott, and number two tennis player Andy Murray. So again,
Murray's not going to go.
More athletes not going.
Pau Gasol is not going. He's come out and said that. Apparently, the latest news today is the velodrome isn't going to be ready in time for the Olympics. There's no velodrome. So I guess none of the indoor cycling folks will be going.
And, you know, Gasol came out and said the IOC is not giving any information or any warnings. They're saying, you know, be careful, but any precautions.
Why would
how
they?
To do it.
Why would they? That's not, the IOC is a business.
But at least you have an athlete coming out and saying, shame on you for doing that.
The IOC is a business. The IOC is there to make money. They're not going to tell athletes anything that would make them think that Zika is bad or Zika is dangerous, because then the athletes might not show up and then the IOC will make less money.
But again, it's significant that the athletes that are coming out saying that they're not going, for the majority, or going against the IOC and condemning them for not giving enough information, are the ones that are making millions of dollars. They're the ones that are making millions of dollars every single season. And again, we say it is all about the money.
Yeah.
So the track and field star that is going for gold, unfortunately, has to go to the Olympics. You have to sacrifice possibly getting Zika just because this is your one chance to make some money.
Yeah, this is probably your only chance. This is your livelihood for the next 4 years.
Gasol's in a situation where, yes, he plays for the Bulls. He has a fantastic contract that is sitting pretty, and he doesn't need this. A few weeks ago, we were talking about Hope Solo, and she had come out, you know, a few months early, I think it was late January, and said, I'm kind of questioning going to the Olympics. But then,
Boy, they shut that noise down real fast.
Yep, I'm going. I'm just going to take the precautions. She's in a situation where women's soccer, you don't make that much money. But you do make money when you're on the Wheaties box because you just won your third gold medal.
Right.
It's all about sponsors. It's all about the money.
Yeah. Well, for track and field athletes.
And it's shameful that the athletes had to be put in that situation.
For track and field athletes, they run the risk of losing the sponsors that allow them to even participate. Because that sponsorship money is a difference between being able to train at an Olympic level or having to work. And it's not that they're lazy. It's just that training is a huge part of your life.
We will pay for everything that you need, all of your meals, all of your clothing, just as long as you wear Nike. You wear Under Armour.
You're not working as a lawyer or as a doctor or as a teacher.
And then training at night.
And training for the Olympics in these sports. Mm-hmm. Training is a full-time occupation, especially right now leading up to the games. Somewhere an adult needs to step in and pull the plug on this thing and just say, look, you got no velodrome, you got Zika and dengue fever all over the place.
Guanabara Bay looks like...
Guanabara Bay is full of poo.
The Charles River circa 1982.
No, the Charles River in 82 was cleaner than Guanabara Bay. There was no poo in the Charles River, okay? We're not going to have our sailing and rowing events in poo.
Yeah.
Because
when you're rowing, they basically disintegrate from all the
poo. They disintegrate from the poo. Call it what it is. It's poo. Guanabara Bay should be renamed Poo Bay because it is full of poo.
It's true. It is true.
And I love the Olympics. I watch the Olympics.
It's great.
I think the Olympics is awesome.
It's a complete joke.
This is a poo show, is what this is. This is a complete poo show. Mm-hmm. Can't say the real word, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. How is this still happening?
We have a country that is on the verge of economic disaster. We have a president that is on the verge of getting impeached. We have an Olympic stadium, velodrome, 90% of it still isn't quite finished. 50% of ticket sales. You know, Brazilians are just late to buy tickets. People from the United States, people from Europe are not traveling because, this little thing that we've been talking all about, Zika, is happening. Guanabara Bay. Should I continue? How about the giant alligators that are just taking over the golf courses? You still think it's a good idea?
Aren't those capybaras or something? They have a cute name for them down there.
Mm. Caimans? Makes them sound.
Yeah, no. Don't worry about the alligators.
Less bitey.
This is a perfect illustration of what has gone wrong economically in the world. This is what happens when the 1% comes in and steamrolls a country or steamrolls a community to make more money for themselves, to enrich themselves and better themselves by exploiting not just the entertainment, which in this case happens to be the athletes, but also by exploiting the local community.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about one of the poorest nations on the planet right now. Yeah, Brazil had things going pretty well a couple of years ago, and that's over.
That's what gets me so much. You've been seeing so many commercials.
The velodrome is unfinished, and the bay is full of poo. Why are we still doing this?
They've been airing so many commercials, and it looks like such this grand party in colors and lights and, you know, dancers. That's not what is going on in Rio right now.
No, there's...
You have people...
There's dancing, but the people are holding protest signs saying overthrow the government.
Yeah, on the other side of that Olympic fence, people are starving. People are dying on the streets. That's the real Rio, if you want to think about it that way. Not going in Guanabara Bay. Poo Bay. Well, today in food news, we learned we may no longer be asking to pass the salt. The United States moved on Wednesday to cut the amount of salt in packaged and restaurant food in a bid to reduce the number of heart attacks and strokes linked to consuming too much sodium. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration issued draft guidelines for major food manufacturers and big chain restaurants that are aimed at reducing salt in food such as soup, pizza, deli meats, dips, hamburgers, baked goods, snack goods, and more. The agency's move is aimed to lowering the average American's salt consumption by a third, saying that people in the United States consume almost 50% more sodium recommended by experts. Many food companies, including Campbell's Soup Company, General Mills Inc., and Kraft Heinz Company, have already cut their salt levels to take the anticipation of the guidelines, which have been in the works since 2011. So the FDA, they come out and say daily sodium intake, our target should be 2,300 milligrams. And this is down from the average intake of 3,400.
Is that how much we're getting every day?
Yeah. I'm a salt fiend.
I get double
that. Mine's probably upwards of like 5,000.
I never put salt on anything. Like table salt doesn't exist in my house. I never put salt on anything. Mm-hmm. But I eat a lot of hot dogs. And I know it's in those hot dogs. Like sodium. Well, everything I eat is riddled with sodium. I don't need to add salt to anything.
For the majority of Americans and how Americans purchase food, consume food, what are the most popular items? Everybody says when you go grocery shopping, you should go on the outer side where the fruits and vegetables are, the dairy, the meats are. But 90% of all your shopping is in those middle aisles.
That's where all the tasty chips and snack cakes are.
Exactly.
That's where I want to be. Those are my aisles.
We also live in a society where we're constantly on the go. And what is quick on the go? Fast food, easy make frozen food, also your canned soups.
I walk around the outside of the supermarket and first you got all the fruits and vegetables and I look at half of them and I'm like, what is that? I've never seen that before. Like there's all new fruits and vegetables since I was young. Mm-hmm. Then you go to the deli counter and there's a huge line that I don't have time to stand in. You go to the seafood counter. Everything is $1 million back there. I can't afford it. And then you got raw meat. And what am I going to do with raw meat? You know, raw meat kills everybody. It's got all the bacteria that kills everything in it. I'm going to stay in the middle of the store where everything comes in a box or can, and I know it's generally safe to eat. It may have 50 times the U.S. daily allowance of sodium in it, particularly if you like soup, which I do like soup.
Love soup.
About a third of every one of those cans, I think, is straight salt.
And have you ever had any like low sodium, any of the canned vegetables or the soups? They're not good. They don't taste good.
No, they don't.
No. I need that salt fix. But another thing that needs to be addressed is one thing, especially in the United States, people purchase this food as well because it's inexpensive. It's easy. It not only, as I said, is it quick, but it's inexpensive. So we have this, where a lot of people, families don't have money. You have a family of four. What's easy? To get a few boxes of mac and cheese, a few cans of, you know, Campbell's soup, add some water. You have dinner for the whole entire family for $4.
Yeah.
What's more expensive is those fresh fruits, vegetables, those organic tomatoes.
Yeah, those are for the rich people. Heirloom tomatoes, there aren't a lot of poor people eating the heirloom tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Or the heirloom cucumbers or the heirloom anything. Yeah, because it's like, hey, look, five cans for a buck. Oh, give me some of that. Number one ingredient, salt. Have some more salt. It's bad, yeah. Number two ingredient, corn.
Yeah, I mean, you cringe a little bit when you're like, oh, this is supposed to be 50% of my intake and I'm just having it for breakfast.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah. Or you're just like me and you just don't pay it. And you're like, you know what? Either way, I lose.
It's delicious.
Yeah, I get it.
And I mean, don't get me wrong. When I'm sick with a cold, there's nothing better than the saltiest, like, old school chicken and stars Campbell's.
I just
makes
like,
you feel so much better.
I just like the damn hot dogs. I really do like the damn hot dogs. Got to stop eating the hot dogs.
Low sodium.
In technology news, this is cool. A new treatment to save people injured by gunshots has proven its worth, but not on the battlefield. X-Stat is an injection filled with tiny sponges that coagulate blood and swell up to 10 times their size to prevent blood loss. Though XStat was approved for use by the U.S. military in 2014, it didn't receive its first test until this year, when surgeons used it to stop bleeding in a hospital setting. The surgeon said results were almost instant, and the soldier who had been shot in the femoral artery was saved. A civilian version, XStat 30, has also been approved for use, but has yet to be credited with saving any lives. So you got an injection with all these little tiny sponges in it, mm-hmm. and you inject them into the wound, and they swell up. You can pump three of these things into a bullet wound, and they swell up, and they stop the bleeding. I cannot imagine that this is pleasant for the person who has had the gunshot, because basically now you're putting pressure all over...
What's going on?
All over the wound.
Majority of people who have been shot... generally are in shock.
Yeah. The great thing about a tourniquet is that it cuts off all of the blood supply to the affected area, which has the effect also of cutting off the blood supply to the nerves. So it's going to dull the pain a little bit. This is just like, here, let me shove some sponges into your wound. But it works.
Do you think we would be in a situation where we would now be seeing, say, EMS... carrying these just as they started fitting ambulance workers with Narcan heroin?
They have got them. Nobody's really used them yet, is the interesting thing. They have been distributed to first responders throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. We just haven't heard about situations where they've been used yet. And every one of these sponges, by the way, also has a little marker in it so that on an X-ray, they can spot them and pull them out. So that they don't wind up leaving them in you when they operate on you. I look at it and I'm like, this technology makes sense. This seems like a great idea. I don't know that I want a bunch of sponges swelling up in my bullet wound because I think that's going to hurt, but it beats bleeding out.
I was going to say, look at the other option that you do have.
Yeah.
There.
And it's like I say,
I'll take it.
I'm a little surprised that no one has actually used it on the battlefield yet or used it in an urban setting or in a civilian setting, I should say, because it seems to me this would work very well for what it's designed to do. Maybe we'll see more now.
Their technology is incredible.
Yeah, but it's called XStat. Keep your eyes out for that. And I'm thinking it's Thursday.
So
is the problem. You know, we didn't do this last week. And now I'm thinking it's Thursday and I'm completely out of my mind.
Now you were here for the show last week.
I was here for the show last week. I was going to do a great thing last week. I was going to break down because I've never done this before. I was going to break down every song that is in the Hear It Wow intro and just play like all of the cuts that it comes from. And I couldn't find the first one. And I couldn't remember what it was from, so I was like, all right, I'll have to come up with something else. I don't even remember what I played last week.
I listened in and out. I was on a lot of pain.
What was I playing last week?
It was random songs.
No, it wasn't random. There was something, or maybe it was.
Like I said, I was kind
of
in and out.
I thought there was some kind of theme to what I did last week. but in the process of researching this week's show, I found that track. So I know what it is now. To be fair, it's been 4 years since I cut together one of those old Hear It Wow intros. Mm-hmm. So I'm entitled to forget the name of one track that's in there. I knew everything else, just not this one. Such is life.
So you're not perfect.
Yes, I am Pope-like in my infallibility. Except when it comes to operating the buttons on this console. Oh, God.
And there it is.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
You know what's really sad is I've only been at work for 2 days. Usually by this point in the week, I've been at work for 3 days. I got an excuse. Tonight, I'm just like, I don't know where my head is.
It's that warm weather and rosy.
I think it's the variable weather. And boy, we got more of that on the way. Partly cloudy tonight. Lows in the mid-50s. Partly cloudy tomorrow. High of just 63. Only getting into the low 60s tomorrow, kids, so the warmth is gone. Back into the mid-50s tomorrow night. Friday, it's going to rain. We're going to get showers on Friday, but the temperature is going to get up to 70 degrees. We fall back to about 60 on Friday night. Saturday is your winner for this weekend. Get out and do that yard work. Get out and have fun. Highs in the mid-70s. Mostly sunny skies, maybe an afternoon shower somewhere. Saturday night, we cloud up. Temperature falls back into the lower 60s. And then Sunday, rain. Rain. A lot of rain this coming Sunday. A lot of wind. A lot of just not good outdoor weather.
It's beautiful today.
High of about 70 on Sunday and then low of about 60 on Sunday night. So Saturday is your winner. I have to get out and deal with the yard. In a big way.
Can you please watch your ankle this time? Try not to roll it.
It's not even that. It was this past weekend. It was like Saturday. I was standing at Fenway, okay? Standing, waiting, and sweating. Because it was like 95 degrees and humid.
Mm-hmm.
And all I had to do was stand there and sweat. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Thank God. The weather, I did the Run to Remember on Sunday. And leading up to it, I said, with my luck, it's either going to be 95 degrees or it's going to be raining. Luckily, it was cloudy and it was about 65, 70, yeah. And it was perfect. But if I ever had to run on Saturday, I would not be here today.
Sunday was sort of raining off and on out where I was, so you couldn't really mow the lawn or do anything like that. And then Monday rained like hell in the morning, and mm-hmm. by the afternoon it was good, but by that time of day you're already out. So nothing was done to the yard this past weekend. The grass is now 3 feet high. I can't believe how fast this grass grows. There's still maple debris all over everything.
Oh, the perks of being a homeowner.
Oh, maples are evil.
Did you sign up for that?
When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that are going on in the world? Right here on WMFO Medford.
I'm Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with the question, just how good is good? Good, the USDA's third quality grade for meat, is not as juicy and flavorful as the higher grades, prime and choice. But good is somewhat more lean, acceptably tender, and it's usually less expensive. You should cook most good grade meat with moist heat. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Okay, gang, so chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So who's going to do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary, and I am Lisa Nichols, and we are here with you every Wednesday night, and it's not Thursday like Derek's been telling you, and on
Wednesday... Did I say Thursday? I am losing my mind.
You can be part of the show. As always, we want you to call in, and you can do that calling up at 617-627-3800.
I think, you know what? I think you can put me out to pasture. I'm done. It's over. I had a good run, 45 years. It was nice. Now it's done.
Put you down. And of course, it's time for Did You Hear? Those other news stories that Derek and I like to tell you about, and the way that we do that is by quizzing each other and seeing who knows more about this week's news.
Who's been paying attention? I always worry about this after a 3-day weekend because I'm kind of checked out.
Yeah. Because I went from
surgery to a brace, work, softball.
Yeah, so no,
my brain's
you,
a little.
You went from surgery to what? Triathlon? Was that what you did? You did a triathlon?
Pretty much. And some weightlifting.
Like what?
I don't like to take care of my body, nor do I sleep. That is why I'm always cranky.
Yeah, but who has surgery and then goes and does the triathlon?
I don't know. My surgeon was very, very angry.
I am very angry.
So I will start this time. Derek, first one for you. Travel alert.
Travel alert. There are two. There was one that we talked about in the last segment, which is if you're going to one of those Zika-infested places, you should not have sex for 8 weeks.
But what's the other one?
The other one, I believe, travel alert. Is this an actual existing travel alert?
Yep. Today was announced.
Not a hypothetical?
Actually, it was announced yesterday.
Oh, today. Oh, yesterday.
Just an alert.
Travel alert. Venezuela?
Nope.
All right.
The State Department on Tuesday set out an alert for U.S. citizens traveling to Europe for heightened risk of terrorism. So they're citing events in France and Poland this summer. So this is in June, we have the European Soccer Championship with the Tour de France in July. Also, Catholic Church World Youth Day in Poland, late July, expected to draw 2.3 million visitors. Now, they're not saying that any of these events have had some sort of, you know, swirling terrorism attack possibly, but having that many people in Europe, I'd maybe stay away.
You know why I didn't remember this, and I offer this same advice to our listeners, is because I heard this yesterday and then immediately ignored it. Because what are you going to do? This to me...
I wouldn't go.
This to you, what, you're going to cancel your travel plans because maybe there might be some terrorism somewhere, possibly?
No, not...
Either you're going to live your life or you're not.
Not general travel. I'm talking about these big events. Would I go to an event with 2.5 million people in Europe? Probably not. At this time, no.
Would you go to an event with 50 million people in the Middle East?
That's insane. Why would you ever do that?
Because it's required if you're a Muslim. It's called the Hajj, and it happens every single year.
Well, I'm not in a situation where I would have to do that.
I'm just, the big event...
I don't follow... that's not my religion. I'm lucky enough to have choices in not being able to do it.
The big event is the reason people go. That's why they're going to see the European Cup.
Have fun. Have fun. Go. You know where I'm going to enjoy it from? My couch. Or maybe I'm going to venture down to the Banshee at 8 o'clock in the morning and watch me some soccer. Some football.
You're way too hopped up about this terrorism risk. You really are.
It's crazy.
It's not crazy. There is no risk here.
As I said, it's an alert.
And it's a needless alert.
Derek, I'm not hopped up. Would I go on vacation right now? Yes, absolutely 100%. If I got free tickets to go to the Tour de France, probably not. I'm cautious.
There's cautious and then there's silly.
I'm cautious. It's not silly.
I'd go to the Tour de France in a heartbeat. I'd go to the European Cup in a heartbeat.
You are crazy.
Why?
Because you on multiple occasions have said you do not want to go to a stadium when there has been an attack. You don't want to be around a big group of people. You verbatim. Do you want me to find the show where you have said that?
I've never said I don't want to go. I've said I get nervous in those situations.
Would avoid.
Okay.
You recommend it to people, I would avoid. I get nervous when I'm at a game because such and such a reason. Well, I'm going to avoid the nervousness and not go.
I go to Patriots games. I go to the playoff games. Those are great soft targets. You know, and it's...
Yeah, but we're lucky a little more here in the United States than what's going on in Europe right now.
Considering
the multiple attacks that have taken place in the last... 6 months.
What multiple attacks? You had the attack in Belgium. You had the attack in Paris. Okay.
So that's not enough for you in 6 months?
No, it's not enough for me in 6 months. It's really not. If I've got tickets to go to the World Cup or to go to the European Cup, I'm not going to not go because there was some terrorism in Paris 6 months ago.
Good for you. That's you.
And that's the way that most people should treat it. All the State Department does.
Go. If somebody has free tickets to give Derek so he can go and then rub it in my face, he's so much more braver than I am because I wouldn't go.
Let me ask you a question. Before the State Department alert came out, would you have thought twice about going to Europe this summer?
Yes. No. For travel, no. To a big event? Yeah, I would think about that.
It's the same thing as going to a big event in this country. I mean, you're basically...
No, it's absolutely not.
It absolutely is.
They have
security forces over there.
Much more easier to follow through with in Europe than it is in the United States. Fact.
No, fact. No, it's every bit as difficult.
No, I'm not bad.
You're going to get killed either way if you're the terrorist. You're probably not getting away. Maybe you're getting away if you're in Paris and you got a couple of different ways of skipping out of the country before anybody catches on to what's happening, which is the only reason that happened. I don't think anybody survived, none of the terrorists survived that Brussels attack. That I would be more concerned about being on a train, being in a train station, or being in an airport than I would be being at one of those events, because security is going to be very tight for those events. And they know how to handle that over there. It's the everyday stuff where you're more likely to have a problem.
I'm avoiding the events with upwards of 2.5 million people.
Also think Al-Shabaab is a legitimate terrorist organization. So, you know, we know where that...
Hush.
We know where your sentiments. You're just terrified. Terrified all the time. Poor thing. tampon tax.
Tampon tax, they are going to eliminate it. It's the same thing as...
Where?
It's West.
Facebook.com/BigPictureWMFO. I give Lisa
you freebie posted this today.
Every week I give you a freebie.
I want to say it was like a new something. New Mexico...
There's only four news in the country, and you got
no.
And
you're wrong. It's West, Oregon.
No.
Washington.
No.
What state? Virginia.
You're not getting a point for this one. I'm sorry, you're not.
I know the story, though.
You know the story, but you don't know where. And if you don't know where, you don't know the story. Illinois. New York.
I told you it was new.
Yeah, and then you said New Mexico and New Jersey, and those are the wrong news. They were already tax exempt in New Jersey, by the way. So Illinois and New York are the latest states to make tampons and other feminine hygiene products tax free. California is working on it even as we speak. By the way, Matt,